Today's daf in the Sechet Erevin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Aleph. It does not leave us much time. So anything that you're missing, good morning world, you better catch up now. Okay, so we're holding right there at the Halakha Mishnah, and what we're going to engage in, even though it appears to be an interruption in the overall idea of the Perek, it isn't. Actually, what happens over here is that we move from the distinction between the Rishuyos to the, first we move to the liminal space, which is the Askufa and the interrelationship of the Askufa, and then we go to the doorways themselves, not just the threshold, but the actual doors and what type of binyan problems we might encounter in moving doors. But all of this relates in a very general and end of Masechet way to the Inyanim of Erevin, because up until now we've been discussing the transference between different types of Rishuyas that are D'oraisa, perhaps the same type. And here we want to talk about the actual movement from one to the other and the problem of the openings and the transitions. So Hadelet Shebu Mukta, let's talk about the case where you've got a Mukta. Remember that a Mukta is a Karfaf. It's basically a storage area that is not usually used. So it's like a junkyard that you have in your backyard. Many people's backyards are actually Mukta. and that's basically what it is. And if you don't go in there very often, you don't really make a door necessarily that needs to be opened and closed in a regular way. What you take is you take a board, basically, or you take an old door, and you don't worry about whether it's really going to fit right inside that frame and so on with a hinge and everything else. And when you need to go in there once a month or whatever, you simply pick up the door, move it out of the doorway, and go in, and then put it back on the way back. And actually, it doesn't even have to have a door. Sometimes people will just put up something that blocks it, and it's not a door at all. Now, if it is a door, then it would be very useful for you to actually tie it up against the wall so it doesn't fall down to the ground every time you use it. And that, of course, brings us into a little bit of the sugya that we had before about binyan, where over there we were talking about putting in shutters into windows that were hanging. We had the whole Mishnah before about if it's hanging, if it's touching the wall, and so on. So here we have the similar question. There's a lot of discussion among the Rishonim why this is different than the why we don't access directly that Mishnah that we had so many times about hanging the windows. But in any event, here we have a delet shebemukta, or maybe not even a delet to a junkyard in your back, but even chadakim shebepirtza. So you have like a bunch of thorns, and this thing is supposed to just keep people out. It's like a bale of wire, you know, barbed wire that you put in front of a door where people are not going to go through. Or you can use machatzalot. You've got these mats that are hanging there. And so the idea is that even if you have these things tied up, you still are not allowed to close the door with them on Shabbos, elim ken gvoyim min haaretz, unless they are also suspended in the air. So in other words, they're not going to be dragged along the ground, which suggests that this has something to do with dragging along the ground, which Rashi rejects vehemently because he says if that were the case, a lot of things in the Gemara would not fit, as you'll see. And not only that, but if it's a question of dragging along the ground, we would have to access the sheet of Rabbi Shimon about whether it's a Dover Shanim is Kavin, and so on and so forth. So cut that. It's not a question of the dragging. It's a question of whether it is similar to binyan. So if you're going to be picking up a door from the ground and you're going to be lifting it and putting it inside to close the wall, that is very similar to binyan, if not binyan itself, according to some. And therefore, all of these things that are similar to binyan, the way to avoid that is if they're hanging in the air and you're just pushing them over, then obviously it's just a junky door. Now, the problem is that this seems to be against the Braita, says the Gemara of Aminu. Delet HaNigreret. Now, Delet HaNigreret is a door that is actually being dragged along the ground. In other words, it's hanging from the top, but when you open and close it or you pull it, It's not lifted in the air and a little tiny bit just to avoid that extra pain. It's actually dragging. Or if you've got a mat that's dragging, or if you've got a cancana nigra, that cancana is the part of the plow that you use in order to steer in the back. And that's often used. People just put that. It's heavy. They put it in front of a door. So anyway, if these things are tied on to the door and they're hanging, but they're not hanging above the ground, they're hanging from the wall, but they still drag along. It says over here, you're allowed to close it. And even on Shabbos, certainly on Yom Tov. Now, I thought you said that one of the essential requirements is that they not be dragging, and that if it's nigureret, then it's usur, it has to be suspended. So how do you explain that? Omar Abaya. So Abaya says, look, it's a different case. And Rav agrees. The question is how much of a different case. So what we're talking about in the Braita, where we're allowing you to actually have the door not suspended in the air by even a millimeter, but it can even actually be on the ground, that is talking about where there is a hinge on the door. So if there's a hinge, even though you're not using the hinge, obviously, it's clear that it's a door. And therefore, nobody's going to mistake this for mechzik binyan, because you're not adding something. It's just a door that's fallen off, and now you're just moving the whole door. They're not going to think that you're building, you're taking a new piece of board and you're building something to close up the opening. Rava says you don't even need for it to actually have a tzir right now. And it just has to be clear that there's a place there where there was once a hinge, which is now broken, but it's obviously a broken door that broke its hinge and now it's on the side. And therefore, we're not concerned about anything as long as it's still hanging, even if it's touching the ground. Nobody's going to think that that has to do with binyan. And here, as Rashi points out, it's obvious that this has nothing to do with dragging, because if it has to do with dragging, what's the difference if it has a mark of having once been a tzir? That's not going to change anything. So it's got to be that the issue is not that, but rather the question whether it looks like binyan. So now the question is, can Abaya Varava really get away with saying that that is the issue? Because there's another braita that says, Delata nigreret, umachatzelata nigreret, vikankana nigrar, bizmanche kishurin utiluyin, ugvoim in aretz, afilo melonima. If they're being dragged along the ground, as long as they're even a millimeter above the ground, then noalim behem. The imlav ain noalim behem. Now, this makes no sense, really. And if we take a look at the Rabbeinu Hananel, we'll see that the girsa was very different, and it should say, and that makes it make sense, bizman sheyesh lehem tzir ugavoy min haaretz afilu kamo leinima. That's the problem. So in that girsa, it says clearly, even if they have a hinge, and they are also lifted at least a millimeter above the ground, I thought Abaye Rava said that the whole point is that once they have a hinge, according to Rava, even if just they had a hinge, it does not need to be lifted above the ground by a millimeter. So this seems to make both of those approaches wrong. And of course, Abaye Varava will both be metaretz l'tamayu. Abaye metaretz l'tame, that it's not and, it's or. Because very often we use the word and in the Mishnah or in a Braisa to use and or. So in other words, if they have a tzir, in which case, even if they're not lifted above the ground by a millimeter, and or they're gavoyim in aretz, in which case they don't even need to have a mark of a tzir. And Rava will say, if they had a tzir, meaning or if they had a tzir. The same answer. Or if they never had a tzir, that they're lifted above the ground. Tana Rabbana. So chay kotzim lechavilim shitkinan lepiratzah shabachot. So let's say you've got this sucha is a mixed, messy, interwoven branches that you just cut off of a tree or off of a bush. Kotzim is off of a bush. Chavilin would be actually bundles that were being marketed usually for firewood, and you just use them as a bundle to use up against that hole in the wall. And you're using this as a door for a hole. So you put it, lepir tzesha b'chotz, you've got a broken part in your courtyard. So bishman shekishurin utluyin, if they're tied to the wall and they're hanging from the wall, then you can close the door with them. So this leaves it wide open to whether we're talking about that they are nigrarot, or they have a hekar tzir, or so on, and it allows for one simple braita that allows for all of the different ways of understanding we had before. Tani Rebbe Chiya, a delet almana. Now, this means that the door is not properly settled in its place. So we're calling it, it's a widow door. Maybe it used to be a nice door, or maybe it never was a nice door, but it doesn't have the things that would normally characterize it as contextually a door, which we'll explain what we mean in a moment. Ein no alimba. Now, this, as Tosfos has got to be talking about, even if it does have a tzir, because if it doesn't have the tzir, or at least a heker that once was a tzir, then why would it have to be a delet almana? It could just be any door that lost its tzir. So therefore, the Gemara asks, what do we mean by a delet almana? So some say that it's not a machlokas. I mean, the question is, what makes something a door as opposed to a board? So if you just have a board that you stick into the hole in the wall, so that clearly does look like binyan. And the thing that makes it very obviously a door is where it's a door, meaning it's not just one board, but it's the two boards that are put together on a frame, or the old-fashioned door, where there's a board or a number of boards, and you've got a crisscross going across it from the outside that strengthens it. But that's a door, not just a piece of wood. So some say the issue is that it's just one board, and that makes it an almana. And some say it does not have that cross wood that goes across it, and that doesn't look like a door. Or in our terms, it doesn't have the frame that allows the two pieces of wood to be put together. Amar Rav Yehuda, once we're talking about problems of something that looks like binyan, then you have to take into consideration also even making a bonfire. You make a bonfire, so what do? You put up on the side, you put up like pieces of wood, leaving space in order to get the fire going inside of that space. And then on top, you put additional wood, right? But that's basically a binyan. So if you're making a bonfire like that, where you're putting these big logs on the side and you're putting logs over them, then the thing to do in order to make certain, and obviously we're talking not on Shabbos, we're talking about on Yom Tov, the thing to do is to first use the top before you make the sides. And that is not the derech of binyan. So you hold up a couple of pieces on top and you slide the sides in underneath, or you have somebody else slide the sides in underneath while you're doing it. But if you do it from bottom up, then it's also the same thing is true. If you want to let's say grill an egg over a fire. So what you will do, you'll put a couple of stones on the side and you'll put the egg on top of the stone so you can now put the fire or the coals underneath it. You can't do that either unless you do it the other way around. So hold the egg up first, then put the stones under it or the wood under it on the sides, and then it's not binyan. Same thing is true as a pot. The derech was you would put like two barrels together. Remember, the barrels were not made out of wood. They were made out of porcelain. So you could put a pot on top of two barrels and have a fire between them. But again, don't do that. You have to first hold the pot on top of the barrels, then move the barrels under the pot. The same thing is true about a portable bed. So over there, again, don't first put up the frame and then put up the top, which was usually leather that fastened around the sides with these loops, but rather hold the top in place while you put the bottom on it. The same thing is true if you're piling barrels, one on top of the other. So don't first put down the bottom barrels and then put a barrel on top of those, because that will be the derech of binyan. Rather, what you should do is do it the other way around. You hold up a barrel and you've got somebody else putting two barrels under it, and then you start piling so that you've got these little, yes, it does look like little binyanim, but it was made shelo kederech binyan. So that would also be okay. Great. Okay. Omer le'ahu tzeduki l'Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Once we're on the topic of these chitkas, which are, we said, these are bunches of thorns. So this gave a tzaduki an opportunity to make fun of the Rabbanan. And he said, hey, thorny guys, ha ha, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at you as a bunch of thorns. So he starts calling Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, hey, thorny, chitka, because, I mean, listen, it's not me. This is what God's opinion is, Dechtiv b'chu. Tovam kichedek, the best of these guys, that's you, right? They say you're the big God Hador. The best of these guys is nothing but a thorn. So he says to him, Rabbi Yeshua, you're such an idiot. Shvil is sefer dekra. You only know how to read the beginning of a pasuk. You don't even understand the pasuk in context. Continue reading. What does it say? Yashar mi mesucha. The ones who are straight in them are greater than the best sukkah, meaning they're the best protection. So we're protecting the world. Obviously, this is not being said in a fashion that's putting us down. On the contrary. So you know what tovam kechedek actually does mean? That the best of them is like a thorn. It means that just like these thorns are great because they're like barbed wire in front of all you mamzerim who make problem for the world and come to destroy it, you know. So we've got these barbed wires, beginim ala pirtza. So the same thing is true about us. The best of us are like barbed wire to prevent your kind of guys from getting anywhere near doing the damage that they could do to the world. That's what it means. There's also another pshat that we can use the word chedek like a mehadek. So it would mean like a stapler. So we are the guys that take people like you and we staple them and crush them right into hell. How do you like that? Mahatkinat harasha'im legeinam. Shenemar kumi vidoshi batzion. Vidoshi. Crush them, man. Ki karnecha sim barzel uparsotayich asim nechusha. I'm going to turn your horns into steel and your hooves are going to be made out of copper and you'll crush everybody. Vahadikot. And that's the chedek. So chedek and chedek can be interrelated. Okay, we are ready for our master. Of course, we have two rebbes today, so we have to be careful, but we're talking about the Halakha Talisker. Very good. Lo yamod adam v'rshut rabim, v'rshut hayachid, v'yivtach v'rshut rabim, v'rshut rabim, v'yivtach v'rshut hayachid. So this is the kind of issue that comes up all the time, where, especially in places that don't have an Eruv and issues in hotels and things like that, real kinds of problems. What do you do with a key that you need to use to open up a door? And the problem is that you may have to take that key. Maybe you hid it in a mat on the stairway, and now you're going to take it out of the mat, and you're going to put it into the lock in the door. So here we can imagine a situation like this. You're standing in Rishus HaYachid. So you put your hand in the Rishus HaYachid and you stick it out into the Rishus HaRabim where a key is. You pick up the key in Rishus HaRabim without bringing it into Rishus HaYachid. You open the door in the Rishus HaRabim. Again, obviously you didn't move it four amas because you're not allowed to do that. But you just lifted it up and you opened up a door that was still inside the Asar Tvachim, or vice versa. You do this standing in Rishus HaRabim to do this in Rishus HaYachid. You can't do that kind of thing. So you can't stick your hand, let's say, through a window from the Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid, pick up the key, stick it in from the inside and open. You couldn't do that either. So that what you would need to do, says Rabbi Meir, is you would have had to have put a mechitza of Asar Tvachim all around that area. And that would turn the place where you're standing into Rishus HaYachid, and in the latter case, obviously. And then there would be no problem of inserting the key in the Rishus HaYachid. Said to Rabbi Meir, well, we could tell you how things were in Yerushalayim, that over there in the Shukshal Patamim, that's the meat market, which was in Yerushalayim, so they would lock the stores while they were in the street. Then they would hide the key on a window that was above the door. So nobody would see that the key was there. And they could do that even on Shabbos. So obviously the window that was there was 4x4 and it was 10 tefachim high. And they're standing in the shuk, which is Rishus HaRabim. So apparently you can, as long as you don't bring it down, obviously, but you could take that key and you can move it from the lock if it was above Atzara Tvachim, so there was no problem in carrying it in the Rishus HaRabim because you were in a Mokum Patur, and you could do that. And they did that halacha l'maisa. Said Rabbi Yossi, yeah, it's true, but it wasn't no meat market, man. It was the wool market. Okay. All right. So it was the wool market. So now, the Rabbanan, what they're saying, does not seem to make any sense. I mean, Rabbi Meir said you can't stand in Rishus HaRabim and move in Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid and move in Rishus HaRabim. And now, what are they going to bring a raya? No, we are able to prove to you absolutely, that you can stand in a Carmelite. What are you talking about, man? I never mentioned the Carmelite. You're talking about the Shuk of Yerushalayim. The Shuk of Yerushalayim, we know, did not have a din of Rosh Hasharabim, even though theoretically, yes, there were people there and so on with the requisite numbers and everything else. But as Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said before, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that if it wouldn't be for the fact that Yerushalayim has these doors that are closed at night, it would have had a din of Rosh Hasharabim. However, because of the fact that the Rosh Hasharabim in the Midbar obviously could not be closed up, so that gave the din of Yerushalayim as a Carmelite instead of a Rosh Hasharabim. Now, the reason it's a Carmelite is because it becomes a chotzer that requires an Eruv, right? That's the main point. So if that's the case, how are they bringing a raya to Rabbi Meir, who's talking about a real difference between Rosh Hasharabim and Rosh HaSayochid? What in the world are they talking about? It doesn't prove anything against Rabbi Meir to discuss a case from a Carmelite. Amar Rav Papa, yeah, that's all very nice. But Rabbi Yochanan was talking about Yerushalayim before they made those holes in the chomot of Yerushalayim. So when the Goyim made those chomot, the holes in the chomah, and those breaks, those breaches in the wall, they were greater than the shear of a petach. So that means they were more than 10 amos. And once you did that, so then it became Rosh Hasharabim, because the wall was no longer a wall. That's the difference. Rava says, no, that's not the point. The point is that the Mishnah, you did not properly understand. So the last part of the Mishnah, where the Chachamim were talking to Rabbi Meir, they were talking about an extension of Rabbi Meir. They were talking about a Pischei Gina. And Rabbi Meir actually does learn that it's exactly the same. B'Hachikamar, what Rabbi Meir was actually saying, whether he was saying it, literally saying it, meaning that it's a chisurim b'chasra, or the idea that it's innate in the words of Rabbi Meir, it doesn't matter. I'll show you in a minute why it could be innate in the words of Rabbi Meir, is that v'chein lo yamod b'rishut ha'yachid v'yiftach b'karmelit, b'karmelit v'yiftach b'rishut ha'yachid. Why is that? Why do we think that that's what Rabbi Meir is saying? It's because Rabbi Meir said you'd have to make a mechitza of asara tvachim. If Rabbi Meir was willing for you to put that key into the other rishus out of a Carmelis, why would he need for you to make a mechitza of asara tvachim? You could have made it less than asara tvachim, turn the area where you're standing into a Carmelite, and that would be just as good. So it's implied by Rabbi Meir that the same iser would also be in a case where you were standing in a Carmelite. That's apparently what we mean, not literally to change the girsa in the Mishnah. Okay. Omrulo, so as a solution, there is an answer to what Rabbi Meir said. The Chachomim said that's not true, because there was a Maisa B'Shurkshel Patamim, which is a Carmelite, and they would actually move the Mafteach, B'Chalon Shagabi HaPetach, and Rabbi Yossi says, Shurkshel Samarim, so fine. Now everything makes sense. Anyway, so let's get back into the issue. You're standing in a Carmelis, and you're going to carry in a Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, Tana Rabbanan. So speaking of entryways into a garden, so Pischei Sharei Gina, and remember that a Gina is always considered to be a Carmelis, it's not considered to be Mukaf L'dira, and because of that, if you have the entryway between Rishus HaRabim and a garden, so bisman sheish lem beit shar mi bifnim, poter no bifnim. So if they have like a little shomer booth inside, so then you can open up the gate from the inside, because that wouldn't be a problem. If you have one from the outside, you could stay inside the gatehouse and open from that side. If you have a gatehouse on either side of the door, you can open from either side. But if there is no gatehouse, then you've got a problem, because you cannot stand inside the garden, which is a Carmelite, or outside, excuse me, in the Rosh Hasharabim, and put a key into the lock. Remember that the locks in those days were not the way that we view the little nice, you know, tiny lock. These were like a big box that had this gigantic piece that stuck out from the door, and it was essentially 4x4. And that would be the lock itself would be Rishus HaYochid. Now, the same thing is true, but a little different, because a garden lock is always high up on the door, and it's always going to be above 10 tefachim. The stores, as we know today, is the same thing. Sometimes the locks are close to the bottom where they lock the door into the ground. So in that case, where you've got a chanuyot, we're going to have to explain the difference about where the lock is. So therefore, we now insert a new piece that we didn't mention before. So bizman shamanu lamata me'asoras, if you've got the lock that is below 10 tefachim high, so then you can bring the key before Shabbos. You leave it on the askufa, and the askufa, remember we said askufa is like a carmelite, so you leave it on the carmelite, and then on Shabbos, there's no problem. Lift it up from the carmelite, maybe you had a little mat there, and you hid the key underneath the mat, and then you can lift it up, you can unlock the door, and you can put it back under the mat. And there you wouldn't be lifting it onto an area that was Rishus HaYochid, because it was Lamata Me'asara, and there was no problem. If the lock was above Asara, and because of that had a din of Rishus HaYochid, so then what you'd be able to do is something else. You could bring the key on Erev Shabbos, and you could leave it like hidden in a little side piece of the lock itself, which is Rishus HaYochid. The next day you pull it out from that side, put it into the door, unlock it, and then put it back in so that you never moved it out of the Rishus HaYochid. So says Rebbe Meir. Now, obviously, this means that Rebbe Meir no longer buys into, and the Gemara is going to point this out later, Rebbe Meir no longer buys into the idea that even a carmelite from carmelite is usher, because this whole thing wouldn't make any sense. How could you take it out of the mat on the askufa and put it back in? So obviously, something has changed in Rebbe Meir's opinion. Fine, but this is a different machlokas. And the Chachomim say, even if the lock is higher than Asara Tvachim, you could make a opening by leaving it under the mat on the askufa, and tomorrow you could unlock the door and you could put it back on the askufa, and there'd be no problem over here, because you could put it back on a chalon shagabe apetach, like is talking about in the case that we had about the doorway. You could do that of the chanuyot. You could do that also, because in both of these cases, you would actually be going from a mokum that is either a carmelite or mokum patur. If there's 4x4 on the window, and then it would be a rishus hayochid. Now that's a problem. So im yesh bechalon arba'ah, then it would be usher, because then you would actually be taking out of one rishus, and that would be from the askufa, which is a carmelite, and you would be moving it to the window, which is a rishus hayochid. Obviously, we're not being matir taking it from a rishus hayochid to a carmelis, or vice versa, that we would never do. Anyway, so the idea over here is like this. It says v'chein b'chanuyot, which means that we're talking about the same case of a carmelite, and that implies that biskufas carmelis askinan. So then we are talking indeed with the carmelite. So now, what is the lock? Because now I want to understand if the lock really has a din of a mokum patur, or if it has a din of rishus hayochid. So I manul hechidami. If the manul does not have 4x4, so then it's a mokum patur, and Rebbe Meir is not going to aser it. If it has 4x4, how could the Chachomim say that you'd be allowed to move it? I thought they themselves explained it. Obviously, there's a difference between the chalon and so on, depending how big it is. So you could tell me that the Rabbanon would say that afizban shamanul lamala mi'asora? They're talking about the case where we have a 4x4 area that is 10 tefachim high, and you're telling me that you're allowed to put it on under the mat, on the askufa, and then on Shabbos, you're allowed to lift it up and put it back on the askufa, or put it back in the window. If it's 4x4 and it's 10 tefachim high, you'd be over mamish on carrying it from a carmelite to rishus hayochid. There's no possible way that the Rabbanon would have said this. So what's going on? Says Abaya, well, what's going on is very cute. What's going on is that the question is, can we include the thickness of the door in the lock? That's the point. And normally the locks were put in this box in front of the door. And then you just had the part that would continue, to lock the door. But remember that according to Rebbe Meir, wherever you have the beginning of an opening, we have a concept called Chokakin Lashlim, which means we can add virtually the area that is behind that and even it out. Remember, the main case that we had, the beautiful case that we had that was the most famous, was the mezuzah, where you've got a door and it's a Gothic door. And now the question is, it does not have 10 that goes all the way up for a thickness of 4. But if you take a look at that top of the door where it curves inward, over there it is 10. So according to Rabbi Meir, you hollow it out virtually, and you now have a full 10 tefachim high by 4 door. And that's exactly what's going on over here, says Abaya. What's talking about is that actually you do not have on the box, which is the lock, you do not have 4. But the door, if you add the thickness of the door, then if you would be chokekin lahashlim, yesh bo lachok v'lahashlim o la'arba'an. That's the machlokis, which is well known. Rabbi Meir holds chokekin lahashlim, and therefore it is considered to be a makom that's rishus hayochid, which is why he says absolutely not. And the chachamim say, no, ain't chokekin lahashlim. So basically we've got a makom p'tur. So what would be the problem of moving it from the askufa? No problem. Omer of Bevi by Abaye, there's 3 very important things that you could see from the Braita that we just quoted. First of all, we see that we say Chokekin Lahashlim, because there's no other way to understand the Braita except the way that Abaye explained it. It is clearly a din of Chokekin Lahashlim. Furthermore, as we pointed out earlier, it's clear that Rabbi Meir has changed his mind. Because Hadar be Rabbi Meir Mishar Regina, because before he said you cannot stand in a Carmelite and move things around in the Rishus HaYochid, and now he is saying that you can. And furthermore, you can see from here, from the way that the Rabbanan have spoken, is that Rav Dimi's point is right. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that a mokum she'in bo arba'al arba'ah. So in other words, if you have a mokum p'tur, then the halacha is mutar livnei rishut harabim v'livnei rishut hayachid to be able to be mechatvim ba, but you can't flip from one rishus to the other. Ubavad shelo yachlifu. So obviously the rabbanon agree, because they said that you cannot take it from the Carmelis to the window in the case where you put it from the Carmelite, you put it onto the area that was a lock, that was a mokum p'tur, according to them. And nonetheless, you weren't allowed to move it from the mokum p'tur up to the window. Why? Because the window is a rishus hayachid. What's the problem? You're moving it from a mokum p'tur to rishus hayachid. Ah, the problem is quite clear. It's because you utilize the mokum p'tur to flip between one rishus and another rishus. That's the problem. So because of that, indeed, we see clearly that they are exactly what Rav Dimi said. You could use a makom p'tur, but only if you're careful not to go from one side to the other side.